So I'm here with Vitsa, who's just paying a brief visit to Nottingham from your many voyages. Vitsa, what have you been up to?
I've been working on Sea Shepherd for the last 2.5 years. Sea Shepherd is an organization that takes action at sea in protection of marine wildlife, so campaigns against whaling, seal hunts, against illegal fishing, that kind of thing. And Sea Shepherd was a split-off from Greenpeace originally, and was founded in 1977, so it's been around for a long time. And I've been to Antarctica and back twice on two campaigns, and we've done a campaign in the Mediterranean, where bluefin tuna is really threatened with extinction due to like relentless overfishing there. So I've recently returned from the Mediterranean campaign, and sort of back on land, trying to adjust to things.
What does it actually mean for you as a crew member involved in these campaigns? What's sort of day-to-day life like for you?
Life on board the ship is very different. First of all, it's very structured. You know, there's a kind of a clear hierarchy just in terms of roles and responsibilities. It's definitely, although it's voluntary run, you know, and we don't get any compensation for the work we do, there's definitely a very clear work ethic, as in, like, you know, you give 100% commitment to what you do. So in that sense, it's very inspiring to be around a group of activists that are there and commit 100% of their time to it. You know, if something needs to happen, everybody's there to make it happen all the time. So on the one hand, that's very good, but also on the other hand, it's very intense, you know, and it's a very charged kind of environment. And then also going to sea, for a lot of people, it's the first time they go to sea. That's definitely interesting. And generally, I work in engine room, so a normal day, sort of, you know, you do like broken shifts. So I work from midday to 4 in the afternoon, and then I start again at midnight to work till 4 in the morning. And especially when you go to sea during campaigns, it can be very long. So the last campaign lasted for just over 100 days. It was the longest campaign Sea Shepherd's ever done. And of course, it's a very long time to go without any day off and, you know, and sort of have a real proper night's sleep. That does sort of get you. And especially sun and ocean as well, being at sea, can be very tiring. So there is that element as well. But that's sort of compensated by the fact that when you find a whaling fleet, for example, in Antarctica, that's, you know, and you do action against them, and you know, you can physically blockade the ships, and it's just, yeah, it's amazing. It's a really, then it's all been worthwhile.
And tell me a bit more about the most recent stuff you've been doing with bluefin tuna in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, so the problem in the Mediterranean is that there is a lot of illegal fishing in the Mediterranean, and there is a very clear lack of enforcement. So the European Union, also the Mediterranean Union, and various other sort of fisheries management bodies, for example, the ICAT, which is the International Commission on the Conservation of Atlantic Tunas, that sort of controls the whole tuna fishery there. It's very inadequate in sort of the enforcement side of things. So they make rules and regulations, and in itself, the rules and the regulations already, you know, are not really up to scratch with the sort of latest data and scientific sort of recommendations on the real what the catch quota should be reduced to. It's a situation where basically the scientists say, you know, it's really safe to say this year only 10,000 tons of tuna. And then, you know, all the politicians start to, you know, talk about it and say, well, you know, we'll make, thanks for your advice, but we'll make it 40,000. And then with all the illegal fishing on top, if what actually being caught would be like more closer to 70 or 80,000, which means that if you look at the scientific recommendations, which are within safe limits, you're talking like 6, 7, 8 times more of that will actually be caught on the ground. So, yeah, it's a very big problem. The Mediterranean is very heavily overfished in a lot of different areas, not just on tuna, also on swordfish, anchovy, and other sort of species. So, yeah, it's really looking to become the new North Sea. Like in a few years, the Mediterranean, if we don't do anything, will literally be just a desert. Filled with, you know, to just be a desert filled with water. You know, there won't be pretty much any life left. And also, a lot of the coastal areas around the Mediterranean, you know, Spain, Spain, Italy, south of France, a lot of these coastal areas are massively developed, which means that a lot of the coastal areas, the coastal habitats for certain birds and other animals which rely on those, that's massively depleted. So with a habitat loss, and also just general human impacts like an increase in shipping, an increase in pollution, the Mediterranean is under serious threat. And actually, just while we were at sea there, just the things we found, even, you know, we rescued a turtle that was like, you know, sort of totally wrapped up in a plastic bag, and, you know, like nearly suffocating, and you see so much rubbish floating around. We've seen more rubbish floating around in the Mediterranean Sea than we have seen any wildlife, you know, and it's very worrying. More on the actual campaign, what we did was the International Commission for the, you know, that rules that manages the tuna fishery, they basically shortened the fishing season by a month. And then the European Union, for their EU members, on top of that, also shortened it for another week, which meant that on the 9th of July of June, it was ended. And so our objective was to go towards the end of the season and find the fishermen that continue to fish when the season is closed. And a lot of those would be non-EU vessels, because the EU is you know, tightening up on their sort of enforcement a bit more. So one of the things we did is we patrolled around Algeria, Tunisia, then we went south of Malta, we patrolled a lot there, documented a lot of illegal fishing, and at one point we decided to go into Libyan waters. Now, Libya is a really interesting country, of course. It is a country that in 2005 suddenly proclaimed, on top of their territorial limit, which is like 12 miles, they proclaimed this 65-mile special fishing zone. So they basically just draw a huge line and said, no one's allowed in here. And if you look on the chart, you actually can see closer to the coast, but you can see like little minefields, and, you know, Libya is very clear that they don't want any, you know, international or independent observers, any international navy to go in there. So the French Navy and the Maltese Coast Guard, which patrol a lot of those waters, will never go in there. And there's a lot of illegal fishing going on there. So after the season closed, a lot of the fishermen that were fishing elsewhere went into Libyan waters. And it's also turned out recently, it's sort of been exposed that the Qaddafi family, who of course run Libya, have a very clear involvement with this illegal fishing, and actually, you know, there's a lot of dealing going on. So we went into these waters and we found two cages with tuna. Now, I have to sort of imagine that the bluefin tuna, they are in big schools, and there's a fishing method which is called purslining, whereby an entire net goes around a whole school of tuna. And then sort of in a cylinder form, the net closes, and then the bottom of the net also closes. So it's like a purse, and that purse is then put in sort of a floating ring, is attached to a floating ring, and it's like a floating cage. And that cage is then very slowly tugged from the fishing grounds to the tuna pens, which are kept, you know, they're sort of kept there. They're being fattened up a little bit before they go mostly to Japan for consumption. So we found two of these cages in Libyan waters, with Tunisian and Italian tugboats on the way to Malta. So it's a very interesting, of course, situation, because you're dealing with lots of different nationalities, dealing with, you know. Anyway, but it was very clear from the distance that they were from the fishing grounds, and the fact that they were traveling, you know, on the way to Malta, that, you know, they had caught it like the day before. Which meant it was way outside of the allowed fishing period. So we went in with one of the ships. We sort of cut through the sort of between the tugboat and the net, and some of our divers went in. They cut open the net, and we released about 800 tuna. It was a bit of a scuffle as well with one of the tugboats sort of ramming us from the side and sort of throwing things and.
It must be confrontational work at times, and how do you deal with that? How does the crew deal with that?
You have to imagine that it. You have to understand that it's very different from kind of normal, I guess, confrontation that other activists are used to, because there's no police. You know, there's no confined kind of space that you might be in, or like, you know, if you're in a certain area, there's like streets which can be blocked off. It's nothing like that. You know, you're in open waters, and it's you and those fishermen, and in that sense, you know, you're on a ship and you might be there with 30 or 40, you know, people, and you have all the equipment you need, you know, to defend yourself. And it's, in that sense, it feels, you feel very strong, you know, and you just feel like you're there doing the morally right thing. And you definitely know that you only can only do that campaign because you've had so much support from people around the world that support it. So, yeah, I feel very, I guess, self-confident about doing this kind of action. And so in that sense, people don't tend to get scared, you know. I mean, our ship is quite big as well, so, you know, it's a big black ship made out of steel, you know. I think it would be kind of silly if fishermen tried to climb on. That wouldn't be, you know. So, yeah. But of course you do. I mean, we were in Libyan waters. And when the action had happened, the Libyan Navy was on the way north, heading north, you know, steaming north. And the Maltese Coast Guard was on the way. So, you know, you then do realize, you know, we have to, at full speed, like, you know, get out of there. But, yeah. So, yeah. It does get hairy sometimes, but... Yeah, I guess, yeah, it's part of it. Yeah.
You talked to me earlier about a few sort of ideas that are in the pipeline, things that are coming up, and campaigns and actions that you're trying to fund and prepare for. Can you maybe let us know what some of that?
Yeah.
Some things that are coming up?
So, there is a new initiative, it's called the Black Fish, and this is a new organization that's been established in Europe by some activists from Sea Shepherd, some people from Greenpeace, some activists that come from other sort of conservation organizations, and also some animal welfare groups. It is very clear that, especially in Europe, the situation around industrial and illegal fishing, whaling, and also an increasing amount of animals being kept in captivity, like an increasing amount of new dolphinariums popping up in Turkey, around Morocco, Greece. It's very clear that this situation is really, really heading the wrong way. Like, whaling is massively increasing, as is industrial, and a lot of a lot of the fishing is more and more illegal. So, with sort of knowing that things are going the way, and also knowing that, I guess, Sea Shepherd and Greenpeace, both of them, you know, have grown a lot in recent years, and I guess a lot of us as individuals feel that, you know, we would be a lot more useful trying to sort of, work on actions and campaigns that obviously all these other organizations don't have all the resources to focus on as well. We want to focus on direct action, investigation and education around these issues in Europe. And so far, we have groups set up in Sweden, Germany and Holland, and we sort of have charity status in those countries, and we're at the moment starting to fundraise for possibly a campaign on one of those issues in Europe. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 The website is theblackfish.org. Probably worth to mention. And yeah, another thing is we have started a campaign around the dolphinarium in Germany, which is a very run down dolphinarium too. There's like four dolphins there. And the owner has already kind of said that he wants to close down the dolphinarium, so we're working with some other international kind of experts on, you know, on rehabilitating, like rehoming dolphins back into the wild to sort of try and get those dolphins out there. And yeah.
Can you tell us why you're focusing on dolphinariums? What's particularly bad
well,
about
them? It was kind of quite a practical choice, as in, like, obviously it would be great to have a ship in Europe and, like, you know, starting actions, but that's from a financial point of view, that's not, you know, that's going to take a number of years to get there. So it's very important that we don't just sit in an office and try and raise funds. The whole point is that, you know, we encourage people, we want people to feel ownership over these campaigns. So the whole, you know, and especially these dolphinarium campaigns is something that's land-based, which means that a lot more people could potentially get involved in it. And also the UK has very successfully got rid of all its dolphinariums. But in the rest of Europe, you know, it's going kind of the other way. So in that sense, it's interesting to, you know, get people involved to make sure, really, you know, also that the EU... hopefully, you know, specialize a bit more into getting regulations set up to ban dolphinariums around Europe. So that's, I guess, the reason we started with that. And two of our activists have moved to Münster in Germany, where the dolphinarium is, to also work there full-time on that. Yeah.
So if there are people listening who are interested in this kind of thing and want to get more involved, what can they do?
The best thing would be to go to the website, which is theblackfish.org. Our proper website goes up in a couple of weeks, but there's also an email address on there, there's a Facebook, Twitter page, those kind of things. I would just say, if you're interested, read up about what we're doing, If you have any skill that you can give, whether it is organizing, you know, help us with fundraising, or even just helping us with publicity, or, you know, if you have some kind of skill that could be useful, like, get in touch with us, and then we can sort of take it from there.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you.